the great commandment, thinking about how we spend time with God, and some of that's tied up in that gift of love. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." The word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue our walk through God's garden in this new year, again, we've been focusing upon fruits and vegetables today, or herb. I don't know. Is that which is correct there? I don't know. Kind of like tomato, tomato kind of stuff, right? But today we're talking about time, T-H-Y-M-E. And the appropriate question to ask is, what is time? And how is time, T-H-Y-M-E, used? Well, thyme is from the mint family. It's been used for centuries, especially to flavor Mediterranean-style dishes. It goes well with fish or chicken. Some people even put it with steak. I've never tried that one yet, but yeah. It's often used with other herbs and spices. It adds a mild zest to any recipe. It's reported also to have some medicinal properties as well, from being an antibacterial to an aid for respiratory issues, and also as an antioxidant. So herbs are healthy for you. Eat some of that green stuff with your food. There you go. I love the English language because there's this play on words today, if we think about it, as the word time, T-H-Y-M-E, is pronounced time. And so we take the opportunity today to talk about that other word, the T-I-M-E, that time. And we can ask the same question that we ask about the herb. What is time, T-I-M-E, and how is it used? Is that not the million-dollar question for today? Here are a few statistics to help us realize just how valuable time is. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who just failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the business person whose flight was delayed. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who had the heart attack in the restaurant. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who barely missed a head-on collision in a car accident. And to realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the Olympic swimmer who missed the qualifying round by 1/10 of a second. God's two greatest gifts to us are time and his love. Of course, that love is manifested to us and shown to us through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you're probably thinking, if we wanted to talk about time, wouldn't you use, Pastor, the classic text from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it tells us that there's a time for every matter under heaven? A time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for lots of other things, as that particular chapter reminds us of. And that's a great text, no doubt about it. But it only speaks about the ebb and flow of things that happen throughout our course of life. This great commandment for me goes much deeper. And it helps us to understand God's gift of time as God's investment in our lives by loving us and sending Jesus into this world to spend valuable time with us. In that great commandment, Jesus basically took the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses for the people of Israel and boiled them down to two statements. Two statements that speak powerfully about relationship. That relationship between us and God and between us and others. And the investment of time that that requires for us to grow and to develop those relationships. The first is there in Mark 12:30, our text for today. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's an all-encompassing love. It's to love God with every part of our body, soul, and spirit. But if we only focus on verse 30 there to begin with, we're missing something that's vitally important. I've been in ministry about 34 years here, and either I just noticed this for the first time or I slept since then, okay? But as I was studying this week, I noticed something here that Jesus begins not with verse 30, but with something more important here. The questions ask, which commandment is most important of all? So look at verse 29 there. How does Jesus begin to answer this? He says, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's a direct quote from Deuteronomy 6:4. It's the earliest creed, the earliest statement of faith about God. It's what's called the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. There it is, right up there. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. It was vitally important to Israel in their history as they began to be established as a nation to combat all of the polytheism, the belief in many gods that surrounded them in their culture of that day and time. It's a declaration that there is only one God, and that God is Yahweh. You know what? That's still vitally important for us in our world today, where there are so many other things that we worship that take priority in our lives as we somehow place God on the back burner. I think Daniel's children's sermon did a great job to illustrate that this morning. Well, Jesus' answer helps us to reassess our priorities, to put God back at that proper place of worship and respect and honor. And then Jesus goes on, of course, after that hero Israel part, to share that part that we know so well about loving God with our whole being. But the part I missed until this last week when I was studying was a very small but also important word, the word and, chi in the Greek, and. And is a conjunction. What is a conjunction, you may ask? Some of you may remember learning the ins and outs of the English language, not in class, but on Saturday mornings between the cartoons. Anybody remember Schoolhouse Rock? Huh? Yeah, a few of you that are my age, right? You know what I'm talking about. What a brilliant way to get kids who are tuned into cartoons, right, to learn the ins and the outs of the English language. Putting it in cartoons, putting it to some catchy music, and there was one for conjunctions. It went something like this. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. They did it better than I do, so. But you get the point, right? There's a conjunction here, and it's not or but, it's and. And adds two things together. So Jesus puts this all together as that first command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and, there it is in the text, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. By connecting those two phrases, Jesus is adding emphasis to that command. The scribes questioning Jesus would have got that point loud and clear that Jesus told them that God is the first priority in our lives. And every part of our being should honor, serve, praise, and thank and love God above all else. The second commandment, Jesus goes on there in verse 31, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That, I think, is the harder one, is it not? Although in 1 John 4:20 we hear this: if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Or we get the question in Luke chapter 10 from the lawyer after Jesus gets him to state the great command about God's love and love for neighbor. He then asks, to try to qualify this, who is my neighbor? That's the real question, is it not? Because like that lawyer, or like a religious leader of that day and time, or like us today, we want to define neighbor as that person that's like me, the person who has the same general beliefs and ideals as I do. That's how we'd like to define that. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenges that whole notion of neighbor in Matthew 5:44 by telling us this: love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he goes on a few verses later to say this, and I'm using the Message version for this part because I like how it puts it. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You are kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way that God lives toward you. There's the challenge that you and I need. Because how does the conservative Republican love the liberal Democrat? How does the predominantly Caucasian church reach out and embrace people of color? How does a married couple include a widow or widower in their circle of friends? How does the jock at school relate to the person involved in band? I could go on, but you get the point. Jesus wraps up all those commands about honoring parents, not lying, not bearing false witness, not coveting what your neighbor has, by commanding us to love each other as we love ourselves. So how do we do that? It takes work. We have to be intentional. We have to sacrifice some of ourselves and our time to be in relationship with one another. It's like the teenager who was tired of reading bedtime stories to his little sister. So he decided to record several of those of her favorite stories on tape. He said, hey, now you can have your stories whenever you want them. You just got to turn on the tape. Isn't that great? She looked at the machine and she looked at him for a minute. She said, no, it hasn't got a lap. Or there was a busy executive who kept a daily log of all his activities. One day he entered, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. His son also kept a diary. On the same day he made this entry, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. What a difference, right? The father thought he was wasting time fishing with his son, while the son saw it as an investment of his dad into his life. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know what the ultimate purpose is. So ask yourself this question: am I in this just for myself? Or can I, by spending time in relationship with a person, make an impact on their life? It all comes back to time. Love takes time and effort. And yet, again, those are the two greatest gifts that God has given us, love and time. The more effort we put into our relationship, the more we get out of it. God has spent a great deal of time with us. I mean, after all, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, in the flesh to live among us full of grace and truth, to teach us, to guide us, to heal us, to pray for us, and of course, to die for us. So let's take time and let's make time to love God and to love each other as much as we love ourselves. Amen.